Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Q3 FY24 earnings conference call of Antero Healthcare Limited, hosted by ICICI Securities. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. Please note this conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the belief, opinions, and expectations of the company as on date of this call. These statements are not the guarantees of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Abdul Qadir Puranwala from ICICI Securities. Thank you, and over to you.
Yeah, hi. Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining us on Q3 and nine-month FY24 earnings conference call of Antero Healthcare Limited. On the call today, we have with us Mr. Prabhat Agarwal, Managing Director and CEO, Mr. Prem Sethi, Whole-time Director and COO, and Mr. CV Ram, CFO. I would now hand over the call to the management for the opening remarks, and then we will open the line for Q&A. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, Abdul. Hi, this is Prabhat here from Antero. Good evening, everyone, and thank you for joining on our first earnings conference call to discuss the operational and financial performance for quarter three and nine months ended FY24. On this call, I'm joined by Ram, our Group CFO, and SGA, our investor relations advisors. I hope everyone has had an opportunity to go through the financial results and investor presentation, which has been uploaded on the stock exchanges and also on our company's website. In February 2024, our company achieved a significant milestone, which is successful listing on stock exchanges. We hereby express our sincere appreciation to all our shareholders, capital market participants, and all other stakeholders for their steadfast support on this remarkable journey. For those joining us for the first time, allow me to provide a brief introduction to our company, after which Ram will delve into our financial performance. Antero Healthcare Solutions Limited was founded in 2018 by Prem and myself, with a clear vision to build an organized, pan-India, technology-driven, and integrated healthcare products distribution platform that delivers value across the healthcare ecosystem. The company focuses on serving healthcare product manufacturers by offering them access to pharmacies, hospitals, and clinics across India. Additionally, the company offers comprehensive commercial solutions such as sales, marketing, and supply chain services to pharmaceutical companies, medical device companies, and other healthcare product manufacturers. Today, Antero is one of the top healthcare product distributors in India, with a pan-India network serving retail pharmacies, hospitals, and clinics. As of December 31, 2023, the company has 78 warehouses located across 38 cities in 19 states and union territories, and a customer base of over 79,400+ pharmacies, which translates to Antero supplying to approximately 1 out of 10 pharmacies in India and 3,300+ hospitals, which makes us the largest hospital distributor in the country. The company has very wide geographical presence, covering 501 districts across India. With supply relationships established with over 1,900+ healthcare product manufacturers, providing access to over 67,100 product stock keeping units, we aim to provide a one-stop shop to our customers' healthcare product needs. Leveraging our pan-India warehouse and delivery infrastructure, backed by strong relationship with pharmacies, hospitals, and clinics, as well as with healthcare product manufacturers, we deliver everything in pharma and everywhere in India. Our commitment to compliance ensures that our warehouses adhere to the highest standards, providing safe and secure storage for pharmaceutical products and devices. Our integrated systems and technologies provide manufacturers with valuable insights, enabling informed decision-making and targeted strategies for sales and marketing. We are not just distributors, we are partners in growth, offering end-to-end solutions that encompass both demand generation, distribution, and marketing support. To grow our operations and bring efficiencies in the healthcare products distribution ecosystem, we have adopted a technology-focused approach which is anchored on our proprietary integrated technology platforms and business intelligence tools and solutions. We see opportunities to enhance efficiency in various aspects of the supply chain within the healthcare industry through digitization, leading to benefits for the entire ecosystem. For example, the company's technology platforms provide a positive buying experience through our digital solutions such as Entero Direct B2B application, where customers have real-time visibility of product range, pricing, inventory levels, order status, outstanding balances, promotional offers. Entero Direct can be used for order management 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Using these tools, the company strives to streamline its internal operations, boost sales and delivery performance, and enhance inventory management and procurement efficiencies. To strengthen our capabilities, we have consistently invested in improving our technology platform. Our aim is to capitalize on the fragmented distribution market by providing integrated tech-driven distribution solutions, expanding our product offerings, and forming strategic relationships with manufacturers, pharmacies, hospitals, and clinics. This comprehensive approach has enabled us to scale operations rapidly, reporting significant increases in operating income, customer base, and product SKUs managed. Within 5 years of operations, we have rapidly scaled up our operations to reach revenue of about 3,300 crores in FY23. In quarter 3 of FY24, the company's revenue increased by 20% year-on-year to rupees 993 crores, significantly outperforming the IPM, which is Indian pharmaceutical market, growth rate of 9%. Entero has consistently outperformed the growth of the IPM, achieving a significant increase in revenue and market share. This consistent performance can be attributed to our unique and differentiated business model in a highly fragmented market and robust supply chain capabilities. Our growth trajectory has been fueled by both organic expansion and strategic acquisitions. With 34 acquisitions since our inception, we have consolidated our market presence across India, expanding our geographical reach and market share. Entero's inorganic growth strategy includes acquiring smaller distributors to increase our geographical reach and customer base and enhancing our product portfolio. This inorganic approach has helped us to enter new geographies, acquire local know-how and relationships, and create a pan-India distribution platform in a very short time. Post-acquisition, we deploy our growth strategies such as product portfolio expansion, increased customer reach, improved service levels, and technology-based solutions to increase our market share. The acquired entities also benefit from our technology infrastructure, manufacturer relationships, central procurement support, and banking relationships. This helps the subsidiaries to grow their business and increase their market share in their respective local markets. Given our track record in acquiring and integrating smaller distributors across India, we have been able to continuously attract distributors to become acquired by and integrated with us. We have dedicated team on ground across regions to identify acquisition opportunities in the market for entry or expansion. As we speak, we are working with multiple potential acquisition targets which are at various stages of acquisition process. With a robust balance sheet post-IPO, we would aim to accelerate our pace of acquisition, which would further enhance our growth opportunities. Entero's growth levers focuses on benefiting from market consolidation through strategic acquisitions, enhancing market position by increasing customer base, wallet share, and geographic penetration. We aim to forge comprehensive marketing and distribution collaborations with healthcare product manufacturers and continue investing in and leveraging our technology. Additionally, The company plans to expand its product adjacencies, private label and service offerings to drive efficiencies and profitability. We are focused on enhancing margins through various initiatives such as leveraging scale for better procurement outcomes, optimizing product mix, improving operating leverage and operational efficiencies in our distribution network. With this, I will now ask Ram to summarize the company's financial performance for quarter 3 and 9 months ended December 24, as well as give an update on the recently concluded IPO of the company.
Thank you, Prabhat. Good evening, everyone. This is Ram, Chief Financial Officer, Entero Healthcare. We have completed our IPO in February 2024 and were listed on NSE and BSE on 16th February 2024. We thank all the stakeholders for their support. We raised rupees 1,000 crores through fresh issue of shares. The monies raised through IPO will primarily be utilized for funding working capital, pursuing inorganic growth opportunities and repayment of borrowings. Coming to financial performance, in Q3 FY24, we have delivered a revenue growth of 20%, EBITDA growth of 54% on year-on-year basis, whereas for 9 months FY24, our revenue growth has been 20%, EBITDA growth of 90% on year-on-year basis. To detail Q3 FY24 consolidated financial highlights, revenue stood at rupees 993 crores with a growth of 20% on year-on-year basis. The robust growth in revenue was on account of addition of new customers, new districts, new SKUs, as well as new healthcare product manufacturers that we could add. Gross profit margin stood at 9.1% vis-a-vis 8.3% in Q3 FY23, an improvement of 81 basis points. The improvement in gross margins was largely due to change in product mix and procurement efficiencies. EBITDA for the quarter is at rupees 29 crores with a growth of 54% on year-on-year basis. EBITDA margin stood at 2.9%, which improved by 64 basis points. The improvement in operating profitability can be attributed to better gross margins, as explained above. Profit after tax for the quarter is at 7 crores, growth of 96% compared to last year. Now coming to 9 months FY24 consolidated financial highlights. Revenue for 9 months FY24 is at rupees 2,888 crores with a growth of 20% on year-on-year basis. Gross profit margins stood at 9%, an improvement of 80 basis points. EBITDA for 9 months is at 83 crores, an increase of 90% on year-on-year basis. Operating margins for 9 months, 2.9%, which is an improvement of 107 basis points. Profit after tax for 9 months FY24 is at 19 crores as against a loss of rupees 7 crores in the same period last year. On the working capital front, our working capital days as on 31st December 2023 stood at 66 days. During the 9 months FY24, we have witnessed a strong improvement in return profile of the company with an annualized ROCE improving from 5.6% last year to 10.3%. Whereas our annualized return on equity improved to 5.5% from negative last year. With this, I would like to conclude the presentation and open the floor for questions and answers.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We have a first question from the line of Yash Goenka from Auriga Capital Advisors LLP. Please go ahead.
Hi, am I audible?
Yes.
Okay. So my question is, what is the targeted ROC for the company over the next 3 to 5 years? And will it be through the numerator or denominator largely? That's all.
Yeah. So, you know, the improvement in ROC is supposed to come from both numerator and denominator. You know, on the numerator, we are working on expansion of operating margins. And on denominator, we are working on reducing the or improving the capital efficiency in the business, right? So both these combined levers, you know, with this, we expect, you know, over next 2-3-year period, the ROC to increase above 20%.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, please press star and one on your phone now. The next question is from the line of Shriram R., an investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. The present industry structure of the pharma retail as well as distribution is fragmented, right? So what is your outlook on the future of the pharma retail industry? Because if consolidation happens in the pharma retail, is that not a negative for us? Because they'll have more command on pricing, right?
Yeah, this is Prabha here. So, you know, pharma consolidation, we have been witnessing for last 20 years, you know, but it has reached only a limited potential, right? Because in India, the retailing is extremely fragmented. You know, there are more than 900,000 pharmacies, and only 10,000-12,000 pharmacies belongs to the chain, right? So, you know, less than 2% of on store count front is consolidated into chains. And we believe that in near to long future, we don't see a massive consolidation happening on retail.
Okay, but whereas you expect the rate of consolidation to be faster in the distribution space, is that right?
Yes, it's. I think it's the distribution space is more conducive for consolidation as compared to the retail space.
Okay, so how does it work in developed countries like U.S.? Can you throw some light on that?
The U.S., both retail and distribution is consolidated. You know, the U.S. top three distributors have more than 90% market share.
Okay. Fine. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, we'd like to remind participants to press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Saion Mukherjee from Nomura. Please go ahead. Mr. Mukherjee, can you please unmute your line?
Yeah, sorry. Am I audible?
Yes.
Yeah, hi, Prabha. Just wanted to understand, you know, the organized wholesale distribution. I think you mentioned about 10% is, you know, organized. So how you see that share going, and within that, you know, how is Entero positioned today? And, you know, if you can throw some light on expansion, particularly, you know, inorganic, what are the sort of areas which are missing? How much more you growth acquisition and protect?
Mr. Mukherjee, you're sounding muffled.
Sorry, am I audible?
Yes.
Yeah, sorry for that. I'm just asking, you know, how should we think about the, you know, in terms of acquisition, what is the kind of network that you want to establish, let's say, 3-5 years down the line? I mean, if you have any, you know, any targets around that.
Yes. See, you know, if you look at Thailand, you know, if you look at today, the organized distribution is in single digits, right? Because there are only very, very few players who are working on a pan-India national level, right? You know, if you look at the industry report of CRISIL, you know, which was published as part of the IPO process, you know, over the next 5 years, they expect that this, you know, organized distribution would take up to 20%-30% market, right? And we believe, you know, there are few people who will drive that. And we will be on the forefront of it.
Okay. And so in terms of inorganic acquisitions, you know, if you can, so will that be a large part of it, or you can do it organically? And if you have to do inorganically, like, you know, how should we think about the kind of capital allocation that you have for inorganic, you know, expansion?
So it will be a combination of both organic and inorganic, right? So, you know, and in last 5 years, you would have seen that, you know, we have done almost 34 acquisitions, and post IPO, where our balance sheet is more robust than before, we would be pretty aggressive in pursuing inorganic opportunities.
Okay, and if you have, like, you know, of the 34 acquisitions, if you, I mean, how have they worked in general? Are there situations where, you know, you found that, you know, acquisitions have not worked for you? If you can share your experience, you know, on that, what kind of returns you have earned, and what should you expect going forward? Is there, you know, a valuation challenge here in the sector?
No, largely, if I have to put, you know, our, you know, detail out the history for last 5 years, you know, the 34 acquisitions that we have done, and if you look at our growth rate for last 3 years, our CAGR has been 36%, and out of which 22% has been organic growth rate and 14% has been inorganic. So, you know, all the entities that we have acquired have grown very well, and the reason why they grow well is because there is a clear right to win. You know, right to win exists from basically a huge, you know, product range that we offer to our customers, where the customers are anyway feeling a challenge on the fill rate, right? So, you know, with our kind of, you know, one-stop-shop solution for our customers, where we expand, you know, product portfolio, we expand the customer base, we make the buying much more easier for our customers. You know, these things are difficult to be offered by smaller distributors, right? So that's the reason we kind of, you know, gain market share on that front. And that will continue to happen in times to come as well. So over next few years, you know, we'll use the mix of both organic and inorganic growth to drive consolidation, as what we have done in the past as well.
Okay. And so typically, what's the kind of valuation multiple that prevails to us at this point, that if you have to acquire a distributor with, say, interval easy EBITDA multiple or easy sales, what kind of valuation is used? Typically, have the valuations gone up, down? And what is the typical range that you get?
Typically, it's a single digit, you know, and we evaluate case by case, you know, depending on the growth potential of potential acquisition targets. But it's in single digits.
Okay. And just one last question on the margin levers. We have seen margin expansion happening, gross margin as well as EBITDA margin. So how should we think about, you know, these, and what are the key drivers in terms of, you know, the key ones that you can think of which would drive this going forward? And where do you expect, you know, this number to sort of settle at maturity, the gross and EBITDA margins?
So, you know, we, in next 2 years, 3 years, you know, we are targeting to reach EBITDA margin of 5% plus, you know, and that would be, you know, driven by both operating leverage as we continue to grow our scale, you know, and secondly, expansion in gross margins, which is through, you know, more value-added services, better procurement drive, you know, share of private label and multiple other factors. So through a combination of operating leverage, operating efficiencies, and, you know, product mix and value-added services and procurement efficiencies, we expect that in next 2 years, you know, we should target 5% plus kind of an EBITDA margin.
And, Rohan, I mean, so you would be the second largest distributor currently in India?
We would believe that, Sayan. I don't have publicly available information on others because, you know, we are the only listed player, right?
Right. So, you know, typically we see distribution margins to sort of peak at around 5%. So since you are, you know, expecting 5% over the next couple of years, I was wondering, you know, is this an aspirational target, or you think it is very realistic? And then you really think the margins can even go beyond 5%, let's say, you know, 4 or 5 years down the line?
Yes, nothing stops us from increasing the margins in a longer period, right? But our immediate next 2 year target is to reach, you know, 5% levels.
Okay. Thank you. And all the best.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Harshi Shah from Paragon Partners. Please go ahead.
Hi all. I have a couple of questions. So just on the top line, looking at the last 2 years, the growth has been phenomenal. But when I see the 9 months top line growth this year, it seems muted. So could you guide us on what has happened this year, maybe less acquisitions, and what part of the growth came from organic growth, and what is the steady state growth that we are expecting in the next 2 years?
So this year, you know, the inorganic element was very less, no? We didn't do much of an acquisition in this year. We did only 2 acquisitions up to now, that also towards later part of the year, right? So it has been primarily organic-led.
Oh, so any particular reason for low acquisitions this year?
Because we were in the process of raising more money, you know, and that's the reason we didn't do much of acquisitions this year, right? So we wanted to secure more funding and then pursue acquisitions. We had disclosed in our IPO document prospectus that we have signed, you know, almost 17 term sheets. So the pipeline building was going on, but we didn't conclude because we wanted to secure the funding before we go for, you know, a big spree on acquisitions.
Right. So these potential acquisitions are all smaller distributors, or are we looking at other tech platforms that are also into, you know, medical device distribution or some other side of the value chain?
It's not much of tech platforms available, no, in this market. What kind of tech platforms you're referring to?
So a couple of other platforms that, again, do a lot of supply chain services, have their own generics business, so in on those terms. So what are the acquisitions mainly going to be on the smaller distributor side, or maybe some other businesses, maybe
forward
integration?
Mostly distributions, you know, because we want to expand our network. We want to reach more parts in India, right? We are there physically in 38 cities only, right? So we want to expand our presence to, you know, many more cities and districts of India, right? So our acquisition strategy is more focused towards expanding in areas where we are not there present today, or in those product segments where we are not there today, right? So, you know, but I'm open. Yeah, we are open to look at, you know, any other acquisition which could, you know, potentially add value or be synergistic to our business portfolio.
Understand. And some color on private label. I understand the mix has changed and that's aided our margins. So what is our plan going forward? Just some more color on what are the sort of new product additions that we are doing that side.
Private label is not it's a very small part of our business today, you know, less than 1%, right? And as our business grows in those product categories where there is not much of a conflict with our manufacturers and where the products are sold without prescription in OTC, surgical devices, you know, those kind of space, we are looking to grow our business.
All right, thanks.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Tanmay Gandhi from Investec. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for taking my question. Sir, firstly, can you give some color that how various business segments have performed, like, you know, how has the healthcare segment has performed, private labels, and your third-party marketing?
So we are, you know, reporting consolidated revenue, right? And, you know, the distribution services, which is the, you know, is the primary or the majority part of our business. And, you know, most of the revenue growth is driven by that. Private label, as I told you, is a very small part of our business as of now. Okay. So that growth rate is not going to impact significantly our overall growth rate.
Sure. And sir, for the acquired entities, how do we look at organic growth, let's say 2-3 years after the acquisition? So I think this quarter we did 17%, but again, there could be some benefit of calendarization and, you know, some scale up. But how much time it takes to scale up the business, and over long term, what kind of organic growth do we expect for the business?
So we target, you know, 2x of industry growth rate, you know, and traditionally, you know, last 3 years we have grown 22%, right? So, you know, 20% kind of a organic growth rate is what we target.
Sure. So, sir, I think this quarter it was only 17%. So I just wanted to check that if there is any, one-off or, you know, or there is some volatility on a quarterly basis.
Ram,
there is no one-time. 17% is organic growth. There is no one-time revenue.
Okay. Okay. And sir, for the gross margin expansion, right, we have already seen a very good improvement of almost 110 bits for the year so far. Just wanted to check that, you know, what are the additional levers which are available for expansion? Is it largely coming from private labels, or we think that even healthcare distribution has more room for expansion?
Even healthcare distribution has more room for expansion because, you know, all the procurement efficiencies are not kicked in up to now. You know, and as we grow our scale, we expect more efficiencies to, you know, dial in.
Sure, thanks. And sir, lastly, given this is our first quarter, would you be able to give us some guidance on, you know, how are we looking at FY25 in terms of, you know, revenue growth, acquisitions, or you can give us some color that how should one look at the business, you know?
See, as I told you, you know, organically, you know, with the kind of, you know, capabilities we have, we kind of, you know, differentiated business model that we have, you know, we expect, you know, to drive organic growth rate around 20%, right? And inorganic, and we will complement that growth rate with inorganic, right? And inorganic, as we said, post IPO with a stronger balance sheet, you know, we'll be more aggressive than what we were there in the past.
Sure. And generally, sir, whenever we do acquisitions, those are generally margin accretive, right?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Thanks.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Faisal from HG Hawaiian Company. Please go ahead.
Most of these acquisitions that we do, apart from the EV EBITDA that you give, is it like on an NAV basis, like, you know, they are debtors minus creditor multiplied by like 1.5 times, and why would these owners want to actually, you know, even sell? That's one. Second is, our ROC remains very poor. So how can we, you know, really go up to 20% in a short period of time? And third is that do these pharma companies have like very rigid rules as to, you know, giving distributorship to a new distributor? Or would you be able to probably enter into any pharma distribution company and take the distributorship up?
Let me try to break your question in 2-3 parts, right? The first question that you asked was on you know, the valuation methodology, right? And why are these distributors selling off, right?
Yes.
So, you know, that we give EV EBITDA multiple, you know, so you know, we value the business based on the EBITDA, delivered EBITDA by them, right? And apply a multiple to it, and then calculate the entire enterprise value for the organization, and, you know, that's how we, you know, value a distributor acquisition. Secondly, why do they sell is, you know, for a variety of reasons. You know, sometimes the issue is related to succession planning, you know, where there is no second generation available to carry on that business. Sometimes, you know, the people are more keen to be part of a larger platform like us, and then continue to grow with us. So, you know, there are various reasons for which, you know, the smaller distributors have been able to acquire and integrate the smaller distributors. Secondly, on the ROCE, as I told you, you know, ROCE is 10% for the 9 months, right? So we have reached the double digit numbers. And, you know, we said that, you know, as we continue our journey of expansion in margins, this ROCE target that for next 2-3 years, we expect easily we should be able to, you know, move towards 20% plus.
And as far as you know, our expansion into cities is concerned, would it not make more sense to go deeper into these 38 cities and you know, where we have, because like it or not, you know, distributorship in India involves a lot of understanding of customers, geography, you know, how various customers' payment patterns are, and even doctors for that matter. So would it not make it more sense to go deeper into these 38 cities rather than, you know, expand city-wise and, you know, then having to undergo the learning curve?
So precisely for that learning curve only we acquired no distributors in those new cities, because when we acquire a distributor, we take, you know, we get a ready-made team, we get an understanding of the market, the know-how and everything. That's the reason why, you know, we have pursued, you know, inorganic route to enter into new cities, right? In the cities where we are present, we are not looking for much acquisition opportunity. There we can grow organically above the industry growth rate.
But once the owner is gone from the company, you know, the kind of, I mean, that personal element is also gone, you know. So how much does that affect us?
No, so, you know, not every time the owner goes, you know, the owner is also continue. Most of the owners have continued also. And it's always a team. It's not a one-man show, you know. Distribution is not a one-man show, you know. It's most of the time the team continues, you know.
Right.
And the customers in those markets get a better value proposition when we join hands. You know, they get a much better product range. They get a much better fill rate. They get a much better service level. They get a better technology to interact on. They get a wider product range. So there's a lot of, you know, positives that the customers experience in those markets. And that's how we have been not only able to retain the customers, but also grow the customers in those markets where we have entered.
Right. And so, lastly, will we be amenable to take debt also to, you know, expand our business so that the ROC also improves there? And if at all, yes, what kind of levels of interest rates that we could get?
Yeah, definitely. You know, there is a lot of room for taking additional debt, but we would continue to balance debt and equity in terms of leveraging that for the working capital, you know, requirements. So there is a lot of room. Currently, we are not even leveraged 30% to 40% on the, you know, working capital that we currently have. We will continue to balance this part from the interest cost perspective and also from the debt equity perspective, exposure point.
And do we have any kind of tie-ups with any MBA colleges or pharma colleges to, you know, have a continuous stream of people coming into our company for more marketing professionals that we need?
There's no strategic tie-ups with any colleges, but we continue to hire from both Tier 1 and Tier 2 MBA schools in the country. You know, most of our, you know, top leadership as well as the middle management, even, you know, city level leadership is from good MBA colleges.
And sir, we have doubled our sales in the last 2 years. So would it be a fair assumption to make that we will probably double our sales again in the next 2 years?
I have given, you know, overall guidance on organic growth and inorganic, right? So with a combination of both, why not?
It's a fair possibility to pencil into our estimates.
See, ultimately, these are all forward-looking statements, right? So I've told you what our strategy is, you know, what our growth levers are. So you can factor it in your own model.
Correct. Thank you so much for your time, sir, and answering my questions so well, sir. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Alok Dalal from Jefferies India. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening. Am I audible?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. So, Prabhat, you gave a guidance of 5% EBITDA margin over the next 2-3 years. Can you talk us about the EBITDA margin over slightly longer term? Let's say if you take fiscal 29, fiscal 30, which is 5 years out, how do you see a distribution business like yours growing organically and inorganically achieve margins beyond the 5%?
Yeah, it is very difficult for me to forecast till 2030. Hello, I don't know in 2030 how the situation could be. You know, we gain significant market share in this country where our position is extremely well strengthened, right? So, and that could lead to higher margins than 5%, right? So, or the market goes generic, and, you know, there are a lot of uncertainties over a longer term period. So it's difficult for me to, you know, give a guidance over a long term. I would rather say that in next 2 years, you know, this is what our, you know, target is, and we there's much more visibility on that front, right? But nothing stops us from increasing them. I'm not saying that our journey will end at 5%, right? So generally will happen as we continue to grow. You know, operating leverages will keep on happening. You know, your private label share will keep on growing. You know, procurement efficiencies will keep on dialing. Nothing stops at 5%, right? So.
So Prabhat, 5% is not the peak margin for the business. That's what I was trying to ask.
Yes, it's not the peak.
Okay, cool. And Prabhat, in the DRHP, there was a mention that the working capital days will reduce to about 53-54 in the next 2-3 years. Are you on track to achieve that? And what will be the catalyst to achieve those numbers?
We are right now at around 65, right? 65, 66 kind of a thing, right, as of now. And, you know, the catalyst for reducing is, again, the scale. Scale brings everything. You know, we can better optimize our inventories. You know, today we are at 34-35 days of inventory. There is scope for 5-7 days reduction over there. You know, we can improve our, payment terms as we grow bigger and bigger. We could enjoy better terms with the manufacturers. So there are multiple avenues available to improve our working capital.
Okay, understood. Okay, thank you for taking my question.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, please press star and one on your phone. The next question is from the line of Jagannathan from Jagan M and Company. Please go ahead. Mr. Jagannathan, can you please unmute your line?
Hello.
Yes, can you use your handset mode, please?
You mentioned about, apart from the inorganic, you mentioned about some of the wholesaler distributors coming on your platform. In those cases, are they selling their business and coming to your platform, continuing the business, or they do own the business but just simply come on your platform?
So, you know, in the past, you know, a lot of distributors have sold the business and continued with us. So, they sold the business to us and reinvested a part of the proceeds in Entero shares, right? So around 3% of Entero is owned by these distributors who at the same time sold the business and at the same time bought shares in Entero with those proceeds.
Okay. And are there any purely distributors who just come on your platform just to use the platform?
No. There's no such thing that, you know, you can just come on the platform and use the platform. We have to acquire the company, you know. We have to acquire the distribution business. There's no other way to join the platform.
Understood. The second question is on the EBITDA 5% margin. So, I have, you know, few relatives who are distributors and universities in Gujarat.
I'm sorry, sir. You're sounding muffled.
Is it better now?
Yes, please go ahead.
So sir, I was asking, there are a few relatives of mine who are in this business. They are a distributor. They have been in the business for, 15-20 years. And what I see is that they generally make a margin of about 3-4% max. And that's been consistency performance for last many years because of the reason that, one, on the supply side, the manufacturers, they provide the margin, and as well as on the retailer side, they have to provide certain margin. So from that perspective, when you say 5% or even more margin is possible, is it because of the platform that you have, or it is because of the pan India presence that you are going to have? How is it going to happen?
It's because of the scale. You know, your relatives, you are right about, you know, your relatives, but they are not enjoying the same level of scale that we are enjoying, right? They don't have that kind of relationships with the manufacturers that we have.
One, because of the relationship with the manufacturers. Second, because of the system and the scale, which will give you that additional margin.
Yes.
Understood. This is clear. Yeah, thanks.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, please press star and one on your phone. The next question is from the line of Devanshi Vagela, an investor. Please go ahead. Mr. Vagela, can you please unmute your line?
Hello.
Yes, please go ahead.
Sir, I had the same question regarding the profitability in the future. Like, where do we see the top line going forward in the next year? Where do we see FY25, and where can we close FY24 from the point of view of revenue?
Devanji, I think I've answered this question, no? In terms of guidance on profitability as well as guidance on growth.
Like, do we have certain figures? Do we have that?
We can't give specific figures, no? It's not possible to give specific figures, right?
No estimates going forward.
I've given you some guidance on growth, no? And on margin expansion.
Okay. And sir, another question is that do we have some major acquisition in the next coming year in FY24 and 25, some major acquisition?
So we are continuously looking for acquisition opportunities. I have given this thing that we have signed some term sheets. So, you know, we will be pursuing those opportunities and converting them into actual acquisitions.
Okay. So you have given... in your presentation, the IPO proceeds, you have left a significant amount for utilization in FY25. So, any guidance on what is the plan for this 475 crore?
Just one second.
Yeah, so hi, this is Ram. The 1,000 crores is what we raised primary. Out of that, 951 crores is post, you know, IPO expenses is the net proceeds company has received. And the utilization plan for FY25, I think towards, you could see that for working capital, about 250 crores. And then pursuing the growth opportunities, which is including inorganic growth, is about 177 crores in FY25, if you're referring to the specific slide. So, and general corporate purposes is about 48, because we would have repaid 142 crores that we have, you know, stated in our objects by this year end itself. So other three objects are these. So any other specific question that you have, this is part of the plan and part of the objects that we have stated in the prospectus.
Okay. That's all from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nishit Shah from Ambika FinCap.
So, Prabhat, thanks for taking my questions. First of all, your IPO came at 12.58. Currently, the price hovers around maybe 15-20% lower. Just wanted to understand what was the benchmarking for the IPO, the sanctity of the price that you arrived at, and to start with, that is my first question.
So, you know, pricing was all based on, you know, this investor feedback and, you know, merchant banker consultations and all that. I don't have any new comment to offer on pricing.
Mr. Nishir, does that answer your question?
No, I am not fully satisfied on the answer, but Prabhat has a right to stand where he wants to. The other question is, how will the margins improve, Prabhat, if you can give me a roadmap? Apart from the efficiencies and the scale of the business, which I understand that as you improve the scale and efficiencies, your margins will improve. What are the key things you are looking at beyond 5%? What will that be? Will it be private label? Will it be third-party distribution? What else?
Well, the two big levers, as I told you before, is, you know, the scale and procurement efficiency and third-party services, value-added services, the product mix, right, share of private label. So it's an operating leverage. So it's all a combination of all four or five factors that can bridge the gap between current 3% EBITDA margin to, you know, 5% target, right? And coming back to your comment on the pricing, it's an investment in a longer term, right? So as I told you, this market is very, very ripe for consolidation. And in last 5 years, we have proven that, you know, from zero to 4,000 crores kind of a company, we have been able to create in a 5 year time frame with a limited capital. So now we are much better positioned in this space, right? And this space is evolving, so it's a very futuristic business.
Well, the point here is very simple. You know, we left nothing on the table for the investors, and if the investors are minus 15-20% to start with, so that's where I'm coming with. You know, I mean, it doesn't leave a good taste and good image for us when we start with such a steep pricing.
Again, I have no more comment to add to that, Jigar.
Nishit,
Mr. Shah, are you through with your question?
Yes, please.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Faisal from HG Hawa and Company. Please go ahead.
So, sir, previous to this, we did not have any kind of experience or even background in a pharma company before 2018. And all this has been achieved in 5 years' time. And so, second is that what is kind of training that we impart to the people who come new to our organization in marketing, and how much time does it take them to be on the bench while they are being trained or...
Can you repeat? I didn't understand the first part of your question, that we didn't have any experience.
So your presentation says that, you know, we are incorporated in 2018.
Correct.
Previous to that, did we have some kind of a partnership company or some background in pharma, or it was just that you started this company and, you know, it has reached the 4,000 crore turnover.
The company only came into existence in 2018. Prior to that, I was the CEO for Alchem Labs. So, in terms of personal background in healthcare, we all had it. But the company was started in 2018.
But no background as such in distribution.
No, and not as a separate distribution company. But you know. Most of my team, you know, personally, my background has been, I was the CEO for Alchem Labs, as I said before, right? Prem was the, you know, director in IQVIA, which is a healthcare consulting company, right? So, and the top leadership, if you look at our listing, everyone has come from healthcare background, right? So, everyone knows this space very, very well.
Correct.
And even the, you know, you asked about training, a lot of people that we have, you know, they're all coming from this space only. So, they are coming with the requisite expertise. You know, of course, we do continuous training and all that, but then it's not that they're coming with zero knowledge on the sector. They're coming with a very good knowledge on this business.
I'm not doubting that, but, you know, in each profession, there is, you know, a lot of fine-tuning that has to be done. So, you know, I mean, a guy might maybe an MR with a pharma company, but here he has to now deal with retailers. So that's, again, a different cup of tea. But in any case, I mean, to build up a company and reach 4,000 crore revenue, even if it's a distribution company, it's like a real, you know, kudos to your management team and to yourself also. I mean, this is something really commendable.
Thank you so much, and I can only tell you the future is looking even brighter than before.
And we have, examples of Redington, Ingram Micro, you know, who have like totally dominated this industry even globally, you know. So, you are absolutely right. There is a super opportunity, and it will consolidate even more because, it's a difficult business with a very low margin. So, you know, for any proprietor guy to really sustain it will be tough.
And this business, the beauty of that is that, you know, both the supply side is also very fragmented and the customer side is also very fragmented. So, if we are able to consolidate in between, you know, we add a lot of value both to the manufacturers as well as to the customers.
Correct. But, fragmentation itself also has its own problems. Like, you know, there's another business called Off Business who have, you know, also tried the same distribution model, but
at least their supplier side is very consolidated. They are into steel distribution. So, I mean, you are solving the problem on both the ends. So, sir, what is the contribution of our top five suppliers to our total revenue?
So, see, we will be reflecting, or we are reflecting kind of the market shares of individual companies, right? So, you know, as we become bigger, you know, anyone who enjoys X percentage market share in overall will reflect X percent market share in our business also, right? So we kind of a, you know, mirror image of their national market shares.
No. My question was, what is the contribution of your top five suppliers to your revenue as a percentage?
I don't have this figure right now handy with me, but probably it could be anywhere between
25%
to 25%.
Yeah. Yeah, I just needed a range.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot, sir.
Thank you. We have a next question from the line of Raghav from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Hello. Am I audible?
Yes.
Yeah. So this is Amin here from JM Financial. I just had one question so basically, what had changed over last 5-6 years that made you think that the consolidation could be the way for distributors to grow in India, and why it has not happened so far in these many years, and if you can explain here.
Look, consolidating distribution at a national level requires an, you know, very organized effort, you know, a very corporate effort, you know, you have to have access to institutional capital, you know, you need to have access to talent at top level, you know, so technology. So, you know, all these things were not there, you know, people who were very meritorious or who were very good in business, they could grow their market shares in their local markets. You know, I haven't seen much of a distributor where a Calcutta distributor has ever thought of opening a shop in Bombay, or a Bombay distributor thinking of going to Chennai, right? So, to grow at a, you know, to consolidate at a national level, you have to create an entity at a national level, you need to, you know, have a plan and a vision to, you know, set up your base all across the country. For that, you need institutional money. All this has happened over the last 4-5 years only, you know. One or two more players were there who could raise money at a national level, could get good founders, you know, with a vision that, you know, a pan-India distribution play can be created in India. So prior to that, we didn't have any such kind of effort, in my view.
Right. And so going ahead, you expect the more competition to come in, bigger players to come in this play, or do you think that this might not be attractive enough for them to come into this segment?
So various people have come and gone. You know, Udaan was also there. They came with a much bigger capital, but couldn't make a big dent in business. You know, Reliance also tried its hands in some way or the other. This is a business that requires a lot of focus, attention, and day-to-day execution. You know, it's not another vertical to build. Healthcare is not a, you know, you can't do healthcare along with fashion and telecom, right? It has never been done like that in any part of the world. So it requires a very focused effort. Can't be part of a conglomerate.
Right. So going ahead, should we expect you to stay limited to the distribution space only, and we won't be forward integrating ourselves for retailers or etc.? What would be your thoughts on that?
So, you know, we have a more engaging platform to engage with retailers without actually owning the shops, right? So we have talked about a little bit in our document also about a Health Edge program, which is like a quasi-franchisee program for retailers, right? So the retailers can come onto this platform and enjoy certain benefits of scale, right? But we, as of now, we don't have any plans to actually go and open our own retail shops.
Sure. The last question is on the margin front. We said that the product mix can drive the margin, but how much really is in distributors' hand to change the product mix? Or is it the market which drives it basically?
So we engage with a lot of manufacturers and give them value-added services, in exchange of which we get better margins, right? So you don't have to really only change the product mix. we can also work with the same set of manufacturer and provide them more value-added services for which you can enjoy more margins.
So these margins are basically driven by your contract with the manufacturers and not the product mix, right? Or
it's a different product enjoys different margins. So it's to an extent a combination of both. You know, let's say for a lot of surgical devices and surgical items, you know, or medical devices, the margins are higher than pharma. So that's a more product-led. In terms of, you know, supplier-led is, you know, where you, for example, for Roche, we are doing end-to-end, you know, marketing, promotion, distribution for them, right? So there the margins are higher. So it's a combination of both how you engage with the manufacturer, and at the same time, you know, there are certain product categories where the, in spite of your, you know, different levels of engagement, the margin profile is higher. So it's right. A combo of both.
But at the same time, the demand should also be there from the retailer side, right? With whom, with your empaneled or,
So we are only taking up products which sells in the market. We are not kind of, you know, creating demand. We are, you know, we will take up those products where the demand is already there. Retailers are asking for those products.
Okay. Sure. Thank you so much for taking my question. Yeah.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference over to management for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
We would like to thank everybody for joining the call. I hope we have been able to address all your queries. For any further information, kindly get in touch with Strategic Growth Advisors or Investor Relation Advisors. Thank you once again and have a great day.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. On behalf of ICICI Securities, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.